Hi, I'm Steve Goldstein, and this is the Friday Newscap podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
I think he has a responsibility as a candidate for governor of the state who bragged continuously about his involvement in getting this on the ballot and the fact that he used paid resources and staff from his campaign to help get it on the ballot, absolutely. And frankly, they were very sloppy.
I read it. I didn't see anything that stuck out to me at that time, but I was not involved in its crafting, was not involved in wordsmithing of it. I got it probably at the same time you did, or anybody else did out there in the public. So I was not involved in it, in the crafting of it at all.
I wanted this pause. We've had this pause. We've had the professionals, the FBI, determined, given the scope that we gave them, current credible allegations, to go and do their review, which they've done.
That's why we need strong leaders like Martha McSally in the Senate. I've witnessed her character and commitment to our country firsthand. Join me in voting for Martha McSally.
I'm Grant Woods, former Arizona Attorney General, Republican. All I can say is Kyrsten Sinema, from day one, has been there shoulder to shoulder with everybody who's fighting these terrible crimes. So to portray her in the opposite way is really misleading.
And with us to talk about the Brett Kavanaugh FBI investigation, some new polls on Arizona's U.S. Senate and governor races, and more, are Paul Bentz of High Ground and former Arizona Democratic Party Chair Andre Cherney. Guys, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Paul, you're kind of our unofficial pollster in the studio today. So when we see polls that indicate that Doug Ducey is extending his lead over David Garcia and the fact that Kyrsten Sinema maintains a small lead over Martha McSally, but she still has the lead, how do you read it at this point?
Well, I think polls are a snapshot in time. They give you an idea of where things are. We always like to look at the trends, not necessarily all the numbers, because each poll is conducted a little bit differently. But what we see continuously throughout these trends is that in the Senate race, Sinema has continued to be ahead throughout most of the polling that we've seen. And it does appear that the governor's lead over Garcia has continued to increase over the past few weeks.
Andre, surprises at all in those?
No big surprises. When you look at something like the governor's race, you see it from a standpoint of an enormous blue wave that is coming across all the elections we're facing here in Arizona and across the country. But when a candidate like David Garcia is outspent 50-1, it's hard to make sure that that wave gets on the other side of the shore. And so the fact that it's actually still a pretty close race, all in all, between Governor Ducey and David Garcia shows the kind of power of Democrats that are on the move in this election season.
Paul, I'm wondering what you make in some of the other races, the statewide races down ballot a little bit. It seems like there's still a lot of undecided voters based on some of the polling that's come out. Is that surprising? I'm wondering what you make of that.
No, it's pretty typical at the top of the ballot. First of all, bear in mind we're in a gubernatorial cycle, so lower turnout because the president's not at the top of the ballot, but usually see some fall off. Right now, Real Clear Politics has Ducey at a plus 10.5, and it's got Sinema at a plus 3.5. So I think the bigger difference here is we can see the break where people are, independents and others, are choosing Sinema but sticking home with Ducey on that. They're going to have to make up their minds, but that'll happen in the next couple of weeks.
Well, how do you see that playing out as you go further down the ballot, things like Secretary of State, Superintendent of Public Instruction, legislative races maybe?
Well, I think the blue wave is real, and we're going to see Democrats participate a lot closer to Republicans, but this is still a center-right state. Republicans will still have somewhere between a 6 and 8 point advantage. So I think for a lot of those races, we still see probably a slight lead to the Republicans. However, I think in some of these races where you've got a female candidate on the Democrat side, there's going to even be a closer chance there.
Andre, how do you see sort of the top of the ballot races, governor, Senate, affecting some of those down ballot ones?
Well, I think when you look at these races like the governor's race or the Senate race, you see races where millions of dollars are being spent. People are turning on their television, learning about these candidates. When you get into races like Secretary of State or Attorney General or Treasurer and so on, you see candidates that are basically unknown on both sides. And so ultimately, it's going to really depend on who shows up to vote on Election Day. And are people looking at names that they don't really know and just making a decision based on party label? While Republicans usually come into a race in Arizona with an advantage in that kind of situation, I think you see really a lot of energy coming from Democrats, a lot of people turning up who wouldn't normally turn up in this kind of race, in this kind of cycle. And I think you're going to see some victories down ballot for Democrats because of that.
Andre, any ones that come to mind for you? Because the couple that we've heard about, potentially Secretary of State, because Steve Gaynor is from out of state and not really that well known, and beat a very weakened Michelle Reagan, incumbent. And we've also heard Superintendent of Public Instruction, because education expected to be a big issue for Democrats.
Yeah, I'd look especially at that superintendent race. I think when you talk about somebody like Steve Gaynor, somebody who's bringing a lot of his money to bear in this race, and so I think he's going to have some powerful name ID. Doesn't mean the Democrats can't win that, but I think we have a really great opportunity when it comes to a race like superintendent, where you have a really attractive candidate like Kathy Huffman with real experience that she brings to bear in that kind of race, running against somebody who, speaking of out of state, is a former elected official from another state. That makes it a really great opportunity for Democrats.
Well, to follow up quickly on one thing that Paul had said, though, is that the idea of the female candidates on the Democratic side, because a lot of people would have said, David Shapiro, elected official in the past, very articulate, very aggressive and intense in some ways. Was that style clash, is that something that could actually help the Democrats, the fact that maybe Kathy Hoffman is seen as someone who is a little bit less, I'm using the word tainted, not as pejoratively as it sounds, less tainted by the political process than someone who's been elected before?
I think people are looking for outsiders across the board in this race now, and in this year, in any of these races. Now, the fact of the matter is, those of us in this room and those of us listening are probably a lot more tuned into these races and who's who than most people who are showing up to vote on election day. So whether they know the personality of Kathy Huffman or Frank Riggs or much about them probably won't be the case. But I think that what they will know will be about somebody who is a teacher, who's an educator, versus a elected official from California.
We talked about it before. The year of the woman we're experiencing right now, female candidates are getting somewhere between a 2 to 3 percentage point bump just by gender alone. That's what we've seen in most of these races right now. I think it helps that Hoffman's an outsider. I think what we're looking at right now is very similar to the Tea Party movement from 2010, but on the left, where they're electing the candidates they want that are different, breath of fresh air, the people who are willing to stand up for their progressive values. And so they're going to really fight for those in these races. And I do think that we'll likely see Democrats take their first statewide office since 2008.
Well, I want to ask a little bit more about the Secretary of State's race, because we've seen now some commercials go on the air for Katie Hobbs. During the primary, we saw a lot of commercials for Steve Gaynor. Andre referenced the amount of money he's putting in. And we had heard that national organizations would be coming in to support Katie Hobbs in some capacity. Do you think that sort of moves the needle at all in a race like that when there's so much else on the ballot that people are talking about?
It's a really crowded environment. I mean, I flipped on the TV football game last night, and it was political commercial, political commercial. Every single one was a political commercial. So it's really hard to get mind share right now. But I think it really will come down to gut feeling on that. And, no one's really rode to Steve Gaynor's aid, too. He said he wasn't going to pour a bunch of money into the general and, in fact, has had a few missteps and has backed some things off. And the media's taken attention to that. So I think it'll be a lot closer than people think.
Andre, as far as the Gaynor-Hobbs situation is concerned, you've got a circumstance there where Hobbs has put out some ads, as Mark mentioned. They didn't seem especially effective to me, but again, I'm someone who's a junkie about this, as you guys are. When we look at the Gaynor-Hobbs situation there, are we looking at a situation where both of them are still talking up the fact, issues that really have nothing to do with Secretary of State? Does that give us a hint that maybe they think perhaps Governor Ducey has other ambitions and they may become governor at some point?
I think it's probably just people trying to get attention understand that a lot of the issues that Secretary of State deals with are important but not necessarily fascinating and for most people. So I think it's people trying to just get their voters amped up in order to win an election.
Well, I think it's been 30 years since a governor has entered and left the office in regular circumstances. So there's a chance. We've had multiple Secretary of States become governor, so there's definitely a chance.
What about some of the other, we keep hearing about, maybe a Democrat could win on the Corporation Commission. Andre, you'd mentioned that you think Democrats have a chance at some other races. Do you think that it is mostly superintendent? Do you think maybe Democrats win more than one statewide office this year? Or do you think it's maybe one and pick which one you think it's going to be?
Yeah, I predict that they'll win at least two, if not more, statewide offices this year. I think it's going to be a strong year for Democrats. I think people are looking at Republicans, and the Donald Trump taint has really fallen all over that Republican Party, and people are sick and tired of that. So I think you're seeing not just Democrats showing up, but you're seeing a lot of independent-minded folks who maybe would normally vote on the Republican Party, see a Republican Party that has in so many ways lost its moral core, and they're willing to move towards Democrats. You're seeing that here in Arizona, but nationally as well.
Paul, you're nodding.
I tend to agree. I think it will be likely at least two statewide offices. I think if Garcia was a slightly better fundraiser and hadn't gone so far to the right, I think I think that you would have seen a stronger slate of Democrat candidates, and they would be out barnstorming the state together. But I mean, right now you see Sinema is nowhere near Garcia, and I think that creates sort of a rift at the top of the ticket. So we'll see if there's coattails, but I do think despite the lack of Garcia coattails, there's still at least two statewide offices that Democrats can gain.
Okay, Paul, last couple minutes before the break, and I want to have you both weigh in on this one. We're seeing endorsements from President Obama, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and on the Martha McSally side, we saw Senator John Kyle, sort of the interim senator, come out and endorse McSally strongly. Are any of those going to make a difference?
I don't believe so. I mean, I think if you're a progressive and you're already supporting David Garcia, I don't know if Bernie Sanders coming out to your support is really energizing or optimizing the base. I mean, we are going to see a 4 to 6 point uptick in Democrat participation. They're going to over-participate in this election. That makes the Republican lead still 6 points. I just don't think Bernie Sanders is appealing to those independent and unaffiliated voters that Garcia needs to get to win.
And President Obama, obviously very, very popular under, but does it make a difference in a state like this?
I think when you're in October and you're seeing a Republican endorse a Republican or a Democrat endorse a Democrat, the impact of that is just about zero. This is very much a dog bites man story. There's just no, it's Ronald McDonald endorsing hamburgers. There's no surprise right. When you're seeing Barack Obama endorse a Democrat or John Kyle endorse a Republican.
So would it have been too stunning if perhaps John Kyle had come out and say, Kyrsten Sinema is great. Just kidding. And come back to that just to make sure people are paying attention.
You have to get attention one way or another.
So I do want to ask about the fact that it does not appear as though Kyrsten Sinema is really touting the endorsement of President Obama. You hear, you saw January Contreras running for Attorney General, David Garcia, both sent out news releases touting their endorsements. We haven't really heard much from Sinema about that. Andre, what do you make of that?
I don't make much about it one way or another. Again, I think that when I saw that, I was actually surprised. I figured Barack Obama is endorsing all Democrats who are running. If he wasn't going to endorse somebody, that would be interesting. But I don't think there's much news to tout one way or another. I think it's just assumed by all voters that a Republican's going to endorse a Republican, Democrat's going to endorse a Democrat. When somebody like Grant Woods comes out, maybe that has a little bit more impact. But I don't think endorsements in this day and age make that much of a difference one way or another.
That's Andre Cherney. Also, here is Paul Bentz with Mark Brody. I'm Steve Goldstein. We're in the midst of the Friday newscap here on KJZZ, which continues after this. Thanks for listening to the Friday Newscap here on the show on 91.5 KJZZ with Mark Brody in Phoenix. I'm Steve Goldstein. Joining us are Paul Bentz of High Ground and former Arizona Democratic Party Chair Andre Cherney.
All right, guys, let's move to Washington for just a minute and talk about Arizona Senator Jeff Flake's role in really today what's happening, the cloture vote for the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court. Last week, on Friday, he had said he was going to vote for Kavanaugh out of committee, then kind of changed his mind a little bit to the extent that he requested and ultimately got a week-long pause, basically, to allow the FBI to do a supplemental background check. Paul, I'm wondering what you make of Flake's role in this and maybe how consistent or inconsistent it is with sort of how he has done things over his nearly 6 years in the Senate.
I think Senator Flake is a thoughtful individual. I think he does not take anything for granted. I think he thinks through all of these items. I mean, it goes back to his think tank days. I think he's always been a member of the intelligentsia community when it comes to these types of items. And I think he thought it was merited. And so he decided that that's what he was going to call for. I think some people were shocked by that. But overall, he marches to the beat of his own drum. He's decided that he wasn't going to run for reelection early on. And I think he's been taking full advantage of that and, doing what he feels is best.
Andre, from the Democratic side, it seems like after Flake called for this pause. There were some, at least, on the left who were like, oh, maybe this means he's going to be a no on Kavanaugh. And seems like they really got their hopes up. I mean, has it been kind of like a roller coaster on the left when it comes to sort of how this nomination process has gone?
I think it's a little bit like a Lucy with the football in a Charlie Brown cartoon. Democrats always keep on holding out hope that that things will be different. But look, I think if what Jeff Flake called for, which is a FBI investigation when you have a credible allegation of sexual assault by a Supreme Court nominee, if that counts as a profile in courage in this day and age, that's a sad indictment of the Republican Party. And what happened over the past week is not even an entire week, a FBI investigation that investigated things only to the extent that they didn't actually question either of the two people who are involved in this, Judge Kavanaugh or Dr. Ford. So just about as fake of a fig leaf of investigation as you can possibly imagine. It's a sad state of affairs, I think, putting aside Democrat and Republican, it's a sad state of affairs for our country when we have a decision of this kind of magnitude being made of a Supreme Court justice, one that's going to be a key Supreme Court seat for generations to come, without a deep look at what's going on, without documents being produced, without a time to be given to air these kinds of serious allegations. It really is a powerful indictment of what has happened to, again, the moral core of the Republican Party.
Paul, let's move on to the political calculus of this, because some have speculated, it seems far-fetched, but that Jeff Flake's vote or the fact that he wanted to push this and have even some sort of small FBI investigation involved indicates that he is really ramping up. He's been in New Hampshire a couple of times for the 2020 presidential race. Is this the epitome of Don Quixote if he decides to do this?
Well, I think it's a difficult path, especially depending on what he decides to do. But every time he does so throw an olive branch out there, then someone shouts at him in an elevator or they bring the Handmaid's Tale people out in front of his office. That's not how you're going to convince Senator Flake. If we all remember, you know, Sheriff Arpaio leveled serious allegations against Flake and his family, and he's been, the victim of that before. So he is trying to be more thoughtful and give everybody credence here. But I think today, based on his vote and what he said after the vote, I think he's probably a yes. And so I think that's a nod to understanding that there's a Republican desire out there. Republicans are energized on this. If they wanted to run, if he wanted to run for president or do something, he would have to have this vote if he had any chance in a Republican primary.
Andre, is this an issue, the Kavanaugh hearings, taking out of the personal effects on a couple of people at least? Is this something that is ramping up and amping up both sides, both the left and the right? Is this an issue that has gotten them both engaged?
Oh, absolutely. I think you see not just Democrats, but I think you see really, especially women all over the country who are many times apolitical, who have been stepping forward and seeing this really resonate with them and their stories and their lives. And similarly, I think it's very fair to say that on the Republican side, you've seen a lot more energy from a political standpoint around the Kavanaugh nomination, and certainly Donald Trump's comments at the rally the other night mocking Dr. Ford, I think just poured gasoline on that.
But I think people are absolutely energized. Republicans went into this thing, I don't think, very energized. And the longer it's gone on, the more they feel how Kavanaugh has been treated, they've been more energized. Gorman, the NRCC director, said it this way. He said, Republican Party does three things: cut taxes, kill terrorists, and confirm judges. When we do those things, we energize our base, and we also appeal to independent voters. I really feel this confirmation has energized Republicans.
Wow. I'm curious about that because we saw a poll this week from NPR that showed that the so-called enthusiasm gap has really closed, that Republicans, Paul, to your point, have really sort of gotten energized. Early ballots in Arizona will be coming out pretty soon, but it's still, politically speaking, a good amount of time until Election Day. Let's assume for a minute that Kavanaugh is confirmed this weekend. Can Republicans maintain that enthusiasm up until Election Day?
I think so, because early voting is only about, you know, it's next Thursday, so it's less than a week away now. We'll see how this goes this weekend. But folks that were not paying attention or were pretty much on the sidelines, I've heard a lot more energy then. I still think the Democrat advantage in this election, the blue wave, is bigger. But instead of as large as it could be, I think this hearing has sort of backfired on Democrats. They've gotten so fired up for it and really put it into a production. Now, both sides have, let's be clear. clear, but that it it has the unintended consequences of energizing Republicans.
You know, there's about 30 days left till the election. That means there's only going to be about 6,000 news cycles between now and then.
It seems like a conservative estimate.
It's a pretty conservative estimate, so plus or minus a few thousand. So I think, you know, this will certainly have some effect, but I think come election day, we're going to be talking about a whole different set of issues.
Paul, in our final couple of minutes, go back to the 90s with me, if you will. A time when Grant Wood's was Attorney General of Arizona, Fife Simon, who was governor of Arizona, and now it's possible we will see them facing off for a U.S. Senate seat in 2020. Fife Symington, is this just about, and I say this as an aging male myself, does he just need to stay relevant? Is this why he's saying this?
I think the governor was a very thoughtful individual, and I think time has reflected very well on his time in office, from the charter school movement, which ended up leading the nation to fixing our Valley's freeway system when it was eminently broken, to disproportionate share funding and helping the underserved under Medicaid. He did a lot of things that were very good, and we still are reaping the benefits of. I sort of look at this is like an old aging fighter movie, maybe one Rocky 6 or 7 or maybe Foreman. Does anybody remember Foreman versus Holyfield? That was the 90s too. I mean, that's what we're looking at. It's a nostalgia. It's why Murphy Brown is back. It's why a lot of old shows are back. It's why I'm hoping Frasier comes back. I think it's looking back to a simpler time, and there's some definite wistfulness right now.
It's a good point. You have Murphy Brown on TV. You had Roseanne on TV. You have Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani in the news on a national basis. You know, if we end up having a Grant Woods, Fife Symington race here in Arizona, somewhere Pauly Shore is rubbing his hands together with glee and ready for his comeback, too.
Given the transient nature of Phoenix, do you think that enough of today's voters remember either of those candidates to really help them get through a primary or really help them in a general?
We were doing the math the other day. I mean, 1998 is 20 years ago. So 1994 is 25 years ago. The Valley has grown by about 50% since that time, let alone the state. I mean, it's a pretty significantly different. There's not a lot of residual knowledge, maybe among the older population, but really they'd have to be reintroduced. And I think it's more of a fun thing. Ultimately, I don't think the governor runs. I'm not even sure if ultimately Grant Woods runs, but I think it's a fun thing to talk about, and it does remind people that there are some thoughtful people in our environment.
I think if Fife Symington is remembered by today's voters for anything, it's being a very accomplished pastry chef here in Phoenix. And pastry chefs need representation in the United States Senate, too.
Andre Cherney, former Arizona Democratic Party Chair, Paul Bentz of High Ground. Guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's big stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at theshow@kjzz.org. I'm Steve Goldstein, and thanks for listening.